God has given me something to talk about, and it's been brewing in my spirit for 2 weeks, but I couldn't get all the puzzle pieces to fit. And then last night, when I went and I sat at God's feet again, He gave me so much meat to all of this, and I'm excited to bring it to you. And also a little bit hesitant, because I'm going to bring this word with so much love. But I want you guys to be really honest today with yourself, right? Now you can sit there and you can lie to yourself. Nobody will know. You can lie to the person next to you. They might know. But you cannot lie to God. And you know what? When you are truthful to yourself and to God, that is when you grow. That is the only way to grow spiritually and emotionally. There's no other way. If you cheat yourself and you lie to yourself, you cheat yourself out of growing up and becoming more mature spiritually. So, I'm going to have a look at Job. And I'm just going to glance over the story a little bit before we dig into the word, okay? So, we all know the story. He was a faithful servant. He was one of God's favorites, right? Because he worshiped God. He knew God's heart. He knew what God was all about. He made constant sacrifices to God. He offered everything that he had to God. He was very, very wealthy as well. One of the wealthiest men during that time. He had many animals, which was obviously his riches, and land. And God went and he bragged with Satan about how amazing Job was, right? What a privilege would that be, right? If God were bragging about us, wouldn't that be amazing? But then Satan said, okay, I wanted to put him to the test, like we all know. And God said, yes, you can do it, but as long as you don't take him personally. Do with him what you want, but you're not allowed to harm him personally. So firstly, all his animals got stolen. And they killed all the farmhands. Then the sheep got burned, as well as the shepherds got killed. The camels got stolen, and all the servants were killed. And then to top it all off, all his children died when their house collapsed from a big storm wind that came from all the sides, north, east, south, and west, collapsed on the children, all of them dead. Now, we read these stories like, oh, they died, this happened, prosecuted, hung on a cross. Oh, we read it and it's just so blasé, and we don't really realize the impact of this. So I'm going to put it to you in a bit of a modern day situation, right? You are a girl or a guy, middle-aged, very wealthy, own your own business, nice family, very rich, loads of properties, and you've got a barbecue at your house, right? And one of your employees turns up and they tell you that all the stock that you have in your warehouse, it's all stolen. The warehouse is empty. There's nothing left. Ouch, right? Now it's starting to hurt, because now you're starting to realize what this really means. Then another guy comes. Let's say it's the Mr. Head of Finance, right? He comes and he says, you're not going to believe it, but all your multiple bank accounts cleared, stolen, money gone, it's empty. Now you're going to think, ooh, I'm not going to be able to replace that stock. What now? Then another employee comes and tells you that vessel with stock that you've got in the harbor waiting to dock, everything that you're importing, something happened and the vessel sunk. That stock, prepaid, also gone. Oof. Now what now? And as he finishes, your best mate comes and say, bro, or friend, I've got terrible news. Your children just died. Have a seat. Your children just died. The house collapsed. There was an earthquake. Whatever. If you think about New Zealand earthquake, tsunami. Your children is dead. What do you have left? Maybe a nagging wife. Hopefully a good one. You've got a wife left. No money. No family. How would you have felt? How would you have felt? So my question is, would you be praising God? Now it's time to be honest. Okay, that's where the little speech that I had in the beginning comes in. Would you be praising God? Would you be angry at God? Would you be questioning God? Some people would say, rightfully so, I'll be questioning God. Why is this happening? So listen, our good mate Job, man, he praised God. And then all his mates came. And they turned on him as well. And they said, what did you do? What did you do that this happens to you? What are you busy with? What are you up to? Why is all this things, all this bad luck coming your way? What happened? But Job 1 verse 20 says, and I'm going to read it to you. Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. That's fair, right? I would have done the same probably. Then he shaved his head and he fell to the ground. Not to cry, not to blame, not to accuse, not to question, but to worship God. To worship God. When you've gone through all of that, you go and you lie on the floor and you start worshiping God. And then verse 21 reads, he said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken away. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Not how dare you, God. Have you forgotten me? Have you forsaken me? No, praise God. It didn't stop there. After that, the word says that he got struck with sickness and his health was under attack. So guess what? Not only did you lose all your riches, all your fortunes, and your kids, but then you become really, really sick. And it's only after that that his friends turned on him as well. But now here's the bit of a curveball, okay? This is not what I'm talking about today. We'll come back to this later. I'm not talking about can you praise God during triumph and tribulation. I'm actually talking about something else. I want to talk about why do you serve God? Why do you serve God? What sits behind you being a child of God, believing in Him? Do you serve God because you were brought up in a Christian home? It's all you know. I think for many South Africans coming from a South African culture, that might be the reality. It's all you know, so you follow those footsteps. Or is it because this is where your friends are? It's your social circle. You're connected in a connect group. You serve. So you can't stop going to church. You can't stop believing because then you're alone. Or do you serve God because you need Him to look out for you? Look, we all know He's the most mightiest being in the world. That's no-brainer, right? So do you serve Him so He will look out for you? Do you serve Him because you will not be successful without Him? Or do you serve Him because you know Him, you love Him, and you trust Him? Now, it's easy to say number four, but this is where the honesty today comes in, right? Why do you trust Him? Why do you love Him? Why do you serve Him? What lies behind it? So now we're going to dig into the Word a little bit, okay? We're going to turn to Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. I'm going to read it to you. It says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, this is verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And I find verse 9 really interesting. It says, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you good gifts if you ask him? Now, this is where the good stuff starts, right? It says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. But some of us have become stuck. Who has ever heard a broken record player? Wee wicka wicka 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 wee wicka. It doesn't stop. And it's all we do. We read the first part. Ask and you will receive. Keep on asking and you will get. Keep on asking and you will get. Keep on asking and you will get. Keep on asking and we stop right there. But shortly after that, God compares it to parents, to a parent and a child relationship. Guess what? It's because we are like children to God, right? That's why he does it. So God told me that some of us are like toddlers, some of us are like tweenagers, and some of us are like teenagers, okay? Bear with me. Have you ever seen a toddler asking for a lolly or a TV? TV time. They do it on repeat. Mom, when can I have TV? Mom, when can I TV? How long more before I can TV? Mom, I want TV. Mom, I want to watch the program. Mom, 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 mom. That's all you hear. It's very irritating. That still happens in my house. That's where I got the example from. We're very strict on TV. And man, they just don't stop. They are so persistent. May they always be that persistent for the rest of their life, for the good side of stuff. In Jesus' name, they are good. But in some households, the parents give in when they keep on asking. And what is the toddler taught? Keep on asking, keep on nagging, keep on repeating, and you will get. And we think the same. We think if we ask God on repeat, maybe if I ask him one more time, one more time, one more time, one more time, okay, maybe one more time, one more time, one more time, he will give it to us. And yes, there's many, many places in the Bible where God says, remind me. Keep on asking. This scripture says, this verse says, keep on asking. But the problem is we stop there. The problem is we don't continue. Now, if you think about a toddler that does that, all you as a parent want is just keep quiet. Come sit on my lap. I just want to love you. I just want to hear. I want to talk to you. I want to hear your voice. I want to love on you. I want to connect on you. And that's what God wants as well. But what does the toddler do? When can I? 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 And that voice, it's horrible. Horrible. I get these twitches when my kids do it. I really struggle. Yes, I really struggle. God is teaching me patience at the moment. And then some of us are like tweenagers. Oh, man. I've got a toddler and a tweenager. That's when the tantrums start. And aren't we like that sometimes as well? If God doesn't give us something, then the tantrums start. Why not? Oh, I don't want to. Vincent's a pro in that. And we throw that tantrum. And all we want to do as parents, we want to talk to them, share your life with me, connect with me. And I think sometimes we do this with God as well. We throw these tantrums because we don't get what we want, when we want it, how we want it, how often we want it, the way we want it, and with whom we want it. So then I can throw a tantrum. Teenager. And then, thank the Lord, I'm not at this stage yet, we get the teenagers. But what I can see when I observe the teenagers, they only talk to you when they want to talk to you. They only talk to you when they want something from you. Give me some money, honey. I want a lift, please. I want to go there. I want Mecca money. Money for Meccas. Come. That's all when you hear from them. And they've got these things in their ears, which they call, well, they say it plays music. I say it plays noise. I never thought I would be this parent. But as time has come, I've not evolved with that sound in their ears. And, oh man, aren't we like that sometimes as well? You only talk to God when you want something. That's the only time you approach Him. And then you've got all these noise, all these influences from outside in your ear, coming in, playing constantly. And God talks to you, but you don't hear Him because you've got these earphones, this noise. And God's going, oh, you don't even know, man. Oh, I've seen parents in this room do it with their children. They talk and talk and talk, and the child's not even aware that he's being spoken to. And that is teenagers for you. All God wants is intimacy. He wants you to talk to Him. Ask Him how He is doing. How many of you do that? Hey, God, how are you? Or is it, hey, God, so listen. Not how are you. Or you might say, hey, God, how are you? So listen. You just don't even wait for an answer, man. I want, I want, I want, I need, I need, I need. If I do it on repeat, I will get it, I will get it, I will get it. If I don't, I throw a tantrum. And then I only approach you when I need something. Give it to me. How many of us do that? So again, I ask you, why do you serve God? Is it for what He can do for you? So we stop at that part. Keep on asking. But what does the rest say? The rest say, keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Sometimes we can become so self-absorbed that we forget that this isn't a one-way relationship. It's a two-way love story. It's a two-way love story. Keep on knocking and the door shall open. Do you keep on knocking on the door of God's heart? And this is where we get back to Job. Because you see, Job knew God intimately. He saw into God's heart, and God saw back into his heart. So a while ago, I gave a definition of intimacy. What is intimacy? It's when you look more into somebody's soul. Into me, you see. Into me, you see. That's what intimacy is. You get closer to his heart, closer to his ear, closer to his voice. You get to know the finer things, the softer things, the pulse of his being. That is intimacy. You see, the relationship Job had with God wasn't a 100% where God had to give 100% and Job gave zero. Gimme, gimme, gimme what you have. All your money, honey. It was just like a marriage. It wasn't a 50-50% relationship either. Some people say that. Marriage is 50%. I bring half and you bring half and together we've got 100, right? No. It was 100% by 100% relationship. He knew that if God allowed all of this to be taken away, He was the one who gave it and it will be okay. So he praised God. He worshiped God. Why? Because he knew his heart. He never doubted God because he knew his heart. You see, he understood love only wants the best. So there is something he isn't seeing. But maybe he will see it later. There is something he cannot fathom. But he will later. So for now, he won't question. For now, he won't complain. For now, he won't argue. He will praise and worship so he can get close to God's heart and understand what is going on. If you had to take your relationship with God now, in this moment, and you had to compare it to a marriage, how do you think God would be feeling at this moment in your marriage? Would he be happy? Would he be satisfied, fulfilled? Will he be lacking? Because you just take, but you never give. This is hard. Guys, this is hard. And some of you might take offense with this. But I want to remind you that offense is never given, it's only taken. So don't take. Don't let the devil come in and come and steal from you now. Be truthful to yourself because you cannot grow. You cannot get out of this if you're not truthful. How happy would God be in this marriage right now? Would he be asking for a divorce? Thank the Lord that doesn't happen. He doesn't give up on us. But just for comparison's sake, how happy would he be? And I'm not saying don't ask God or don't remind him. But what I am saying is that if you know the Father intimately, then you will know that he knows you need this breakthrough. He knows that you need money. He knows that you need a job. And he will provide it. And if he doesn't, it means he's forming you. He's molding you. There's something better in store. There's something you can't fathom now. But if you just wait, a massively good example for this. Let's go 3 months back, 4 months roughly. The day I got the phone call to say, from John from the Gordon Spratt, telling us he needs to see me. I knew it was bad news. I didn't know what to expect. Go in and say, oh, sorry. You cannot use the venue anymore. It's going to be gone for 3 months or something like that. 4 months. I could have gone and said, God, what is your plan? God, we need. God, we need. God, I want. God, I want. Why are you doing this to me? We can't find a building. This is going to ruin us. This is going to be catastrophic. I'll never forget the phone call I had with Erica straight after that. Maybe it was Pastor Allen. I can't remember. And the first thing I said to him, God is busy. We don't understand it now, but God is busy. Because you see, if you know the Father's heart, you'll know that he'll never drop you. He'll never drop the ball. He is in control. But sometimes we just throw a massive tantrum. We quit church, quit serving, quit connect groups, have a pity party. Because we don't understand the Father's heart. And the other thing some of us do, and this is a very fine line. I said to God, I don't wanna say this. I don't wanna bring this in here. But it's here, okay? So I'm just gonna say it. Sometimes we try and get the world to pray with us for a cause. If we can only get 50 people to stand with us, because the word of God says, where two or more is, there it shall be. Fantastic. But you can pray until you are blue in the face and you don't have any oxygen left. You can have 100 people with you, but if you don't know the heart of God, it's not going to mean a lot. Yes, we need to activate stuff in the physical realm. I'm not discounting that. Yes, we need to stand together and we need to seek prayer. But you see, the problem is we forget that we need to knock. We forget that we need to seek. Have you gone and seeked God first? Or what is your first reaction when a problem comes? Erica, I need help. Erica, you need to get a prayer group. Erica, you've got to do this. Erica, what about God? God, I need help. God. Sometimes I feel like if we can gather a lot of people to pray for something, we think it's going to be like a protest gathering. Maybe God will give in if we all just stand together and he will finally give me what you want. What do we want? But that's not love. God's not like that. He's not withholding it from us because he's trying to get something from us. Where's the love in that? There's no love in that. I don't withhold stuff from my kids just to say, oh, when you gather A, B, and C, or when you get this, this, and this, maybe I'll do it for you. I don't manipulate them like that. It's a form of manipulation. You see, if we know him, if we knew him, we would not be able to think of God like this. Instead, we will go and sit at his feet. Cry if you have to. Ask. But praise and worship. Because you know that he already knows as well. You know, there's this worldly saying. Will often says this to me. When I ask him to do something and he does. And he says, remind me in 6 months. If I haven't done it yet, remind me in 6 months. Don't remind me every day. And it's a joke we have in the house. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be asking God. I'm saying don't stop there. I'm saying get out of the rut you're in at the moment where you're like we are like teenagers or toddlers or tweenagers and we only see this. We don't see the bigger picture. We just see we need this, and we fixate on it. Get out of that. So I've got a bit of a testimony for this. As a young girl, with everything that happened to me and all the pain I went through and all the unfairness and now, I cried out at God's feet multiple times in my life. But that always turned out into praise and worship. And until today, I share my heart with him and then I shut my mouth. And I allow the Almighty God to start sharing with me. If any of you know my oldest son, it's like this. Non-stop, ever. And we sometimes do that. And God just says, I go like this sometimes with him. Listen. Because if you listen, you will hear God's heart. You'll feel the love. And many times I was in too much pain. I couldn't utter words. I couldn't even listen. The pain just, it struck in my heart. It felt like semi-heart attacks that I were getting. So I would just put worship on because then at least I've got something to go to. But let me tell you, it's in the praise and worship where all my healing happened. Because I let go. I let go and I let God. I keep my mouth shut. I don't even get to a place where I blame, where I argue. And believe me, I could have done that many times in my life. People would say, rightfully you could have said to God, why? And I can honestly say, it's probably God's grace because I'm such an extremely positive person that I never went that route. It's definitely God's grace, but I never did that with him. I never said, God, how dare you steal all of this from me? How dare you allow the devil to steal all of this from me? We can start the music. Thanks. So my question again, why do you serve God?